Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, a national liberal arts college and conservatory, offering an engaging global education with funding for internships, research, study abroad, and more. Lawrence.edu. Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
It's a morning show on the Ideas Network, from fiction to memoirs, poetry, and government reports. We're talking about a new book that identifies 1,000 other books you should read before you die. Some of those things may be books you've read already. We'll reveal some of those titles and that make the cut just ahead. Also hear your ideas for a must-read book list. But first, I'm Michael Arnold. Gene Purcell is here. It's a Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You appreciate the Ideas Network for interesting conversations about all sorts of things, including books, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Yeah, we absolutely do count on you to keep these programs on the air. It's because listener support is the single largest piece of funding that you'll find here in Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. That means that it makes this show and all of the other programs that you enjoy in WPR possible. And that's why it's your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's so important.
And it's also a great opportunity for you to become a recovering procrastinator. Sometimes people put it off until the last minute.
Don't do it.
This is the next to the last day of the drive. It'll be over tomorrow, but you'd like to make that pledge now. And there's a reason why you should do that, because if you pledge $10 a month, we have a special deal today where you can get two pairs of WPR socks for the price of one. So if you pledge $10 a month or $120, you will get those socks. Last hour, we heard from 45 donors. This hour, we'd like to hear from 40. It starts with you going to your phone and making that pledge.
40 donors. We can do that. And don't forget, it is the last Friday of the pledge drive. So your last opportunity to make that pledge during the morning show, if that's what you'd like to do, help pay for the programs you rely on every day. Programs like the Ideas Network. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
There could be a lot of reasons why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it could be because we're commercial free. Maybe it's because, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and business sponsors are important. But there's another support source that's very important to Wisconsin Public Radio.
There sure is. And we have lots of sources of revenue, as you just heard. But the biggest piece of revenue, the biggest piece of our funding pie, is WPR's listeners. People just like you who listen to the programs, who value the programs, and are willing to support them. It's your support that really does make all the difference, because it is the financial backbone of how things work around here. And when you give, you keep quality and independent talk and information on the air right here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're asking for you to make a transformation from just a listener to a listener supporter. And think about, actually, maybe your relationship with WPR is transformed over the years. Maybe the first time you heard Wisconsin Public Radio, you were in the back seat of the car and you didn't have control of the radio and you had to listen to it because your parents liked it. And then all of a sudden, you listened long enough that you started thinking, oh, you know, actually, this is pretty okay. I'm good with this. I'm going to listen to it on my own. And you can't get enough of the news, in-depth conversations, music, and great information.
You know, and then there is some point, and I can't speak for everybody, but at some point you sort of grow up and you make that decision that I'm not just going to be a freeloader. I'm going to support something that I believe in. So now it's your turn to become a member, just like your parents, just like some of your friends. Help pay for the hours of high-quality programming that you enjoy day after day, year after year, and become part of the WPR family. You can support the radio that's been part of your life ever since you can remember. Maybe start with a gift of $10 a month, $120, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And today only, we do have that two pairs of socks for $120 deal. So it's a really good way to support the station you love, and then also have some interesting socks that will launch 1,000 conversations probably as you wear them. And it is an election year, and you want to be informed about the candidates before you cast your ballot. I mean, and that's one of the things that Wisconsin Public Radio has been working on. We want to give you the campaign coverage that you need.
and the campaign coverage you deserve. There's a lot of elections out there, a lot of topics. Do your part to make sure that everyone's got access to this. Make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This fall membership drive asks for your pair of WPR socks, and you'll get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. They're just the thing your feet are looking for. They're cotton, warm, and stylish.
I would give them to my friend who doesn't listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, but is going to want to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio after having the cool socks.
I'd share them. I would share the wealth and share the pride.
I would wear the first pair down to just nothing, to just rags falling off my feet, and then I would wear the other ones.
It's up to you. When you give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 today, here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You'll get two pairs of socks for a $10 a month pledge. But really what you're getting is a great radio service. I'm Michael Arnold with Gene Purcell, and we're asking for your pledge of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount. We appreciate and count on your gift.
We sure do. And don't forget, this is the last Friday of the pledge drive. So don't procrastinate. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today is it. So make your pledge online right now at WPR.org or go ahead and give us a call, 888-202-2552. And thank you.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. So many books, so little time. It's a phrase that resonates with readers and book lovers everywhere. After all, there are millions and millions of books out there. So what are the essential must-read books? Well, from science fiction and memoirs to poetry and travel writing, the author of 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die weighs in with his picks. James Mustick is the co-founder of the book catalog A Common Reader. His new book is 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, a life-changing list. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on.
First of all, I just have to say right off the top, this seems like an incredibly thankless task.
Well, John, I've been writing it for 14 years, and I expect to spend the next 14 years traveling around the country, talking to people who are going to tell me what I got wrong.
I welcome that.
I welcome that because part of the fun of this is to talk about writers that people love or alternate books by authors I've chosen a different book from, and the conversations that I'm having and that I've had my whole life, even when I had the book catalog, are really part of the what I call the traffic in books that gets readers really involved and excited.
But I mean, seriously, though, this must have been an incredibly difficult undertaking. I'm thinking, you know, Hercules cleaning out the stables here. How tough was it to narrow down all of the millions of books that are out there into just a list of 1,000 must-reads?
Well, the hardest part was really getting my head around how to approach it, because a list of 1,000 books could be many different things. It could be, you know, a canon of classics. It could be a chronological history. It could be a record of popular delights. And because books engage all of human knowledge in themselves, you could also have a tour of, you know, the significant disciplines of human thought, none of which felt right to me, because I've been a bookseller my whole life and a haunter of bookstores, and I wanted something that felt more like the kind of discovery you get in a bookstore where you go in to look for one thing and you find something else. And how could you convey that kind of sense of agency and conversation with your own interests and not make it all feel like homework? And so I decided to go across all genres of literature, because to me, real readers read the way they eat. So they want a hot dog one day, and they'll want a fancy meal the next day, and some night they'll just have a bag of chips. And we read that way too. We read for entertainment as well as knowledge, and we read for indulgence as well as enlightenment. So I wanted to cover the ground there. So I finally decided, what if I had a bookstore? I could only have 1,000 books, but I wanted to be able to approach, you know, to answer any kind of a reading yen that somebody might have, whether it's for a mystery or for a serious biography, whatever it might be.
So, I mean, you've got a pretty even breakdown between fiction and nonfiction titles. It feels, I don't know, it feels to me like fiction is a lot more subjective than nonfiction. Did you find that to be the case?
Generally, I think that is so, because I think books speak to different readers in different ways. And actually, they speak to the same reader at different points in their lives. You know, in the course of this exercise, I've gone back and read books that I've loved as a young man, that, you know, now that I'm in my early 60s, when I reread them, they're quite different. I still love them, but it's like, oh, I didn't get that part of it. So, you know, so fiction really, I think it's almost more dynamic in terms of the reader's imagination. And so you're right.
So there's a great variety of genres in this book. Even, I mean, if we separate out, you know, okay, we've got fiction, but within those you have you've included a tremendous variety of genres in this book. Talk about that a little bit. How did you decide, again, what to put in and what to leave out?
Well, I tried to find books that had spoken to me or to some reader who had spoken to me about them. When I did my catalog, A Common Reader, for 20 years, we had readers all over the country, and they would write in. You know, back in the day, it was actual letters. I still have 6 or 8 filing cabinets in my basement where people would recommend books to me, where I'd write a, have a book about nature, and someone would recommend to me a book about ants. I remember in particular one letter I got from a lieutenant in the Navy who was stationed in the South Pacific, who told me about the Swallows and Amazons books, which are kids' books by Arthur Ransom.
We'll come back. We'll come back to this, James Mustick. Fascinating discussion about 1,000 books to read before you die. Don't go away. We've got a lot more about this coming up. I'm John Munson. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Good morning. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm joined this morning by Mike Arnold, and we are here talking about listener contributions. And more specifically, we are asking for listener contributions from people like you because they are the single largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's your gift that keeps the programs you value, including the morning show, on the air and financially viable. Make your contribution now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
It is the next to the last day of the drive. It's almost over. And this morning we're asking for recovering procrastinators to step forward and make a pledge. Because, I mean, I have to admit, I'm somebody
procrastinator
who enjoys putting things off to the last minute. Mm-hmm. But I've decided that as I grow older, I don't need that much drama in my life. So you can still be kind of a procrastinator, but not a full on, by making a pledge in the next to the last day rather than waiting until the last minute. So we just need 17 pledges to meet our goal for this hour. So we want you to step forward. And if you step forward, we will reward you, because in honor of you making your life less dramatic, we will give you, as a thank you gift at the $10 a month level, a pair of WPR socks.
Wait,
and then
another pair.
And then another pair. We'll basically give you two pairs of socks. So if you're ready to step forward and do this, make your pledge now. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you are ready to step forward, just think how you'd be looking stepping forward in those new WPR socks. You would look fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you haven't given yet, give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's your gift. It's your donations. It's your support that funds the programs you enjoy.
How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that really stopped you in your tracks or made you sit down and listen or write down a note? Every day, the Ideas Network is working on programs that open your eyes and engage your brain and talk about things that you're thinking about. And this kind of radio happens only with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We hope that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, but you might be asking yourself, What's the best way to make your gift? Well, the answer is an obvious one, and I can speak to it from personal experience. Become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is easy, it is automatic, and your membership is always current. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and then you just set it up to be ongoing.
A sustaining gift is a really good way to donate because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. It splits your gifts into installments, so it's not like one big check at a time, and it just really works out better. So choose an amount, save $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself perusing the shelves of your favorite bookstore with $200 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a bookstore near you.
My partner loves books so much, and he would just have a field day.
$200 at a bookstore. A really nice Kindle case. That's the one that, don't tell Steve Paulson I said that. He'd be really upset.
Oh, that's such a hard question. I love books. I would probably just spend hours thinking about it. I'd be there for so long.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. And here's how.
You can donate any amount to be entered at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Gene Purcell here with Mike Arnold talking about listener support. It's the biggest source of funding for WPR's programs, programs you rely on, and that's why your support during our fall membership drive, the second to the last day of the fall membership drive, is so important. So your gift might be $10 a month, $100 a month. The point is that now is the time to make it. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Yeah, just 13 pledges to stay on track for this hour. We can do it. Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. Fill in the blank about how you feel about the station and then support it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've got just 13 pledges to go and about 40 minutes to get there. We are having a great hour, a terrific morning, actually. So let's keep it going. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible. So make that pledge right now. Again, online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. What books do you think are must-reads? 800-642-1234. We're talking about essential books with James Mustick, who co-founded the book catalog A Common Reader. He's a new book out titled 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, A Life-Changing List. And I, you know, this is a very challenging idea that you can take all the books that have ever been written that we're aware of and come up with a list of 1,000 must reads. But we're working through it here this morning on the Ideas Network. Jim, I think there are titles in here that will surprise people. For instance, you include the 9/11 Commission Report. I don't tend to think of government reports when thinking about essential books, but you did. Why?
Well, it's an important work in, you know, at a critical time for the country, and the kind of institutional response to it it's very interesting to read because it's actually well written and it's thoughtful as well as chilling and riveting. And there's one line in there that stuck with me when I read it, saying there were many failures that led to our vulnerability to the terrorist attack, and one of them was the failure of imagination, that we could not imagine enemies of ours using planes as weapons and so on. And it just struck me as so thoughtful and such a different approach to how we normally read about events, which are by journalists or writers who always fashion it in a different kind of narrative, but just the kind of application of intelligence trying to gather the facts struck me as being something that readers should not forget about, as they should not forget about that tragic event.
Since this is Wisconsin Public Radio, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if there were any Wisconsin authors represented in your book.
There are, as a matter of fact. There are three, which, interesting to me, all share their books are all kind of speculative fiction. Jack Finney, who wrote a wonderful time travel novel called Time and Again. Peter Straub, who wrote a horrific, chilling ghost story called, well, not ghost story, called a horror tale called Lost Boy and Lost Girl. Both Finney and Straub were born in Milwaukee. And then Clifford Simic, who wrote the great science fiction classic Simic, City, rather, was born in Millville. So those are three. And also two classic authors born in Wisconsin, both with the name of Wilder. Thornton Wilder, his Bridge of San Luis Rey is in the book, and Laura Ingalls Wilder, who was born in Pepin, a little house in the big woods, talks about her early days there. So there's a nice range of writing from Wisconsin there. And there's another book with a Milwaukee connection by Pat Jordan called A False Spring, which is a sports book. Jordan was a pitching phenom in baseball in Connecticut in the late 1950s, and he was signed by the Milwaukee Braves back then with the largest bonus they'd ever paid, $36,000. That was in 1959. And he didn't make it. And his book is about his struggles, having been so successful as a young man, as a pitcher, not quite making the grade in the major leagues. It's beautifully written. It's an affecting story of coming of age and the kind of disappointment that he felt. And it's a great baseball book, but it's from a different angle than we normally get. So you see there, across the range of just the Milwaukee authors from, I mean the Wisconsin authors, from Laura Ingalls Wilder and Jack Finney and Clifford Simic to the book about baseball, there's a lot of range in the book, in my book.
We have about a minute left in this segment. Jim, in your eyes, what are some, maybe one or two, absolutely essential books out of your 1,000 book list that everyone really must read?
I'm going to give you one that everybody will know about and one that they may not. And the first is Middlemarch by George Eliot, a 19th century English novel, which when I read it in college at 19, seemed like the wisest book I ever read. And I've read it every decade since then, and it just gets wiser and wiser, or maybe I get a little smarter. It's a terrific novel that I highly recommend.
And the second one, quickly?
Second one is The Mouse and His Child by Russell Hoban, which is a novel about two wind-up toys that leave a toy shop. It's written for about 10 and 12-year-olds, but it's okay. One of the most affecting novels I've ever read of any kind.
We'll continue our conversation about books with Jim Mustick, author of 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, a life-changing list. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It took our guest 14 years to put together a list that's 1,000 books long. Learn about the reads this author suggests you add to your literary bucket list. That conversation continues in just a few minutes. Maybe you've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for 14 years and haven't been a member yet. Well, now's the time. Now's the time. It's the next to the last day of the drive. I'm Michael Arnold with Gene Purcell. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, in-depth, and educational discussions, and we rely on you to keep the programs going.
That's right. We do rely on you, and now is the time, because listener support is the biggest piece of funding here for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making great progress
on
our overall goal here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the next to the last day of the drive, and basically, lots of people are coming out and saying, I'm tired of being a person who puts it off to the last minute. I want to do it the next to the last minute, and I'm going to pledge the day before the drive is over rather than waiting until the last minute. It's fun. It's dramatic. But do we really need that
we
drama?
Don't.
I don't think so.
There's a lot of
I don't
drama.
Think so. I don't think so. I think we need to mellow a little bit. And to help you mellow a little bit, we have a special incentive for you on this Next to the Last Day. If you pledge $10 a month, we'll thank you with two pairs of WPR socks. Not a tote bag, not a coffee mug, not a t-shirt, not a beanie. None of that stuff. These are socks. These are vital and important things to your life. Life without socks would be what? Like life without Wisconsin Public Radio, which is why we have socks. So make your pledge at the $10 level right now and support Wisconsin Public Radio on this Next to the Last Day of the Drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Weirdly enough, I am following that logic. So life without WPR is like life without socks.
Right.
It's all tying together for me right now, and I'm encouraging everyone to make a call, make a pledge of support. And, you know, this hour we're listening to 1,000 books to read before you die. And, you know, some of them were a bit of a surprise. We talked about the 9/11 Commission report, which I read years and years ago. But now I think I may go back and reread it. And it was also really interesting to hear about the authors in there. And there were more than you think that either are from Wisconsin or had a Wisconsin connection. So that was really cool. And that's what your dollars, your support helps pay for every morning, whether it is news of the day or information that is useful to your life. We cover it all here on the Ideas Network, and it's your funding that makes it all possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Take a few minutes now and make your pledge.
And remember, today only you can get two pairs of WPR socks for $10 a month or more. That's a one-time gift of
$120. $120 is how you do it. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you get these stylish and comfortable socks. Show your support for WPR on the second to the last day of our fall membership drive. You'll get not one, but two pairs of Wisconsin Public Radio socks. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sam from Madison, and my husband and I are sustainers of WPR. Wisconsin Public Radio is really my main source for global news and community news. My husband and I like being sustainers because I don't have to think about the contribution that I write out. It's automatic. And when I hear appeals on the radio, I already feel good, like, yes, I made my donation and I'm making it monthly, so I don't have to think about it. I think it's critical that my husband and I support Wisconsin Public Radio and the programming that they broadcast. We really are lucky to live in this community, and I only want to make it stronger. So I hope you'll join me in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio as a sustaining member.
You can become a sustainer right now by making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're asking for your support during this fall membership drive because it's what makes WPR programs possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And honestly, do not delay. Today is the second to the last day of the pledge drive. If you've been thinking all week, I'm going to make my pledge, well, you should do it right now, so don't waste any time. Pledge online at WPR.org, or you can call our toll-free number at 888-202-2552, and thank you.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. So, what's an absolute must-read book? What do you consider to be your favorite book of all time? 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest this hour, Jim Mustick, the co-founder of the book catalog, A Common Reader. His new book is 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, A Life-Changing List. Let's go to the phones. We have a caller. Tom is calling us from Neenah. Tom, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. What I wanted to share with you, as you are aware, Bob Dylan was the Nobel Prize winner for Literature in 2016. Three books that influenced him significantly in his work were Moby Dick, All Quiet on the Western Front, and The Odyssey. So I was just like to hear what you and your guests have to comment about that. Thank you.
Jim? Well, all three of those books are among my 1,000. The Odyssey is, you know, the granddaddy of all stories in Western literature, certainly, and it still remains gripping and exciting and surprising today. Just a wonderful tale.
Moby Dick, of course, is the great American classic, and it can be very forbidding. But I would recommend to listeners who haven't read it and have been put off by its length and by all the whaling lore that they try an audiobook. There's a fantastic audiobook of Moby Dick read by a man named Frank Muller, which makes even the arcana of the whale trade fascinating. So that is well worth everyone's time. And the third book just slipped my mind.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a great classic of men in battle and the horrors of war about World War One, and that's a harrowing read and still harrowing today as it was when Remarque wrote it about 100 years ago.
I have to say I was a little bit relieved when I found a number of books on this list that I've already read. So I don't have the whole 1,000 to go through, but I'm going to have to live a long time. With millions of authors out there, an individual author would be really lucky to find one of their titles in your book, and yet some authors have multiple books featured. Who did you find to be some of the more influential authors out there who warranted the inclusion of more than one of their titles?
Well, there's Shakespeare, certainly. There's 12 plays and the sonnets, because there's such a wellspring of story and of language in English. Dickens has the next most, because he's a great novelist, but also because I love his stories particularly. They've always meant the world to me. I go back to them time and time again, and so Dickens is there. Among newer writers, Virginia Woolf, because her sensibility is fascinating and gets richer and richer the more you immerse yourself in it. Doris Lessing, a British writer who won the Nobel Prize a few years ago, and Elena Ferrante, a newer novelist from Italy, a four-book quartet about two girls growing up in Naples, which is just a riveting read. So there's probably 20 writers that have more than one, because sometimes it's the writer's sensibility that really draws us in more than an individual work.
Let's take another call. Bill is with us from Barneveld this morning. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Great program. Glad to have you on. One comment. When you were talking earlier about books by Wisconsin authors that are listed in the collection, I was somewhat surprised that Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold is not amongst those. Obviously, it's a work, I think, of great literary merit and also of great importance, I think, for as many people in the world to read as possible. And I wonder if your guests could just comment on that. Thank you.
It is both those things. It is a wonderful book. It is one of the books that caused me pain to leave out. And I have it on what I call my own, in terms of the book, the afterlife list. There are one of the things you learn in working on this kind of book is that no matter how much you read or how many books you write about, it's never enough. And Sand County Almanac is an example of a book that, you know, is just on the other side of the line. And I really commend your reader for bringing it up, and your listeners should read it. It's a fantastic book.
Bill, thanks for the call. What about an underrated author that people should check out? Who would you recommend?
Ah, that's a great question. There are so many of those writing today and have written through history, but in the book you'll find lots of people that you might not expect among the big names. And so there's a Brazilian author named Clarice Lispector who is not underrated by those who've read her, but not too many people have. She wrote throughout her life from when she was a very young woman, had a phenomenally successful novel, and then wrote stories throughout her life. And her collected stories have just come out in English in the past few years, and I really recommend her.
We're talking with Jim Mustick, who is the author of 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, a life-changing list. And we're kind of going through this. One of the things I'd like you to talk about, if you could, please, just to give people an idea of what this book is like, talk about the format of the book and the way the selections are presented.
I presented the book is set up alphabetically by author, which gives you the kind of serendipity so that you'll have something like Flora Thompson's Lark Rise to Candleford, which is a very charming and sedate story of growing up in the English countryside, and right next to that is Hunter Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is the opposite end of the spectrum. So the alphabetical setup, I think, is important. Each book I've written, on average, about 500 words about, my own thoughts about it, and attached to each write-up is some endnotes that have the dates of the author, the dates, the date the book first appeared, but also recommendations for further reading if you like the kind of book you just read about. So all told, there's about 5,500 books that are referenced here, and so there are many, many trails to follow. So even if you, most people who get the book are going to open it to an author they love, but even if they've already read that author, there'll be some directions at least towards further reading that might interest them.
We mentioned Sand County Almanac as a book that you would have liked to have included, but you couldn't quite get it in there. Were there what were some other books that you wanted to include in this list but couldn't?
Oh, the list is endless. I don't have the poetry of W.H. Auden in here, or novels by Kate Atkinson, a newer writer, or Rick Atkinson, the great military historian. There's Nelson Algren from Chicago, a fantastic writer. I'm just going through the A's because I had
right.
rattle off 40 in my head in the A's. Well, you know, once people know you're writing a book called 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, you can never enjoy a dinner party in quite the same way again. So every night when you go out and have dinner with friends, you come back with a whole new list. So it's an endless task, which is part of the fun.
You include a handful of lists in your book, which offer book suggestions for different moods and scenarios. So as long as you're here, let's get a few recommendations. What's a book that we could read in one sitting?
A book that you could read in one sitting is a book by Alan Bennett, a British writer, called The Uncommon Reader, which is a fantasy about Queen Elizabeth discovering a passion for reading, which is just totally charming and hilarious.
What about a book that will make us laugh out loud?
Oh, there's so many of those. P.G. Woodhouse, all of his novels are good. I have If Pigs Will Fly in there, which is terrific. And any of Bill Bryson's books as well. The one I have in the book is A Walk in the Woods, which always has me in stitches.
Mm-hmm. What about a great book for young adults?
A great book for young adults. Well, The Mouse and His Child, which I started to talk about before, by Russell Hoban, I think is completely surprising. It is both terrifying and exhilarating, and it teaches real-life lessons in a great story.
What about a great collection for poetry lovers? You said you had the Shakespeare sonnets in there. What would be some poetry books that we should read?
Well, one of particular favorite of mine is the poems of Richard Wilbur, who is an American poet who just died in the past year. He was in his 90s. Very formal but accessible poetry that just are, his poems are memorable because they really take shape in your mind because he took such care in shaping them on the page.
I'm sure that you have enough book suggestions to last you a lifetime. I'm certain that I would get enough votes, books here that would last me more than a lifetime. But that said, do you have a plan of any sort to issue 1,000 more books to read before you die, just in case?
Well, that's a great question. What I'd love to do is issue an annual or a biannual where I add additional books, but also I add lists from readers and booksellers and librarians who I'm talking to as I go about the country. We built a website which will launch on publication day next week, which is Tuesday, 1000bookstoread.com, where readers and booksellers and librarians can go in, agree with me, or if they want to argue with my choice, there's a button that says Life's Too Short, and they can add their own books to it and make their own list, which I'm interested in seeing. So my dream is to create little compendiums each year where we're adding to this 1,000 and continuing the conversation.
I'll save the hardest question for the very last. What is your all-time favorite book?
My all-time favorite book is called A Mass for the Dead. It's by a writer named William Gibson, not the great science fiction writer William Gibson, who's also in the book. But this William Gibson wrote the play The Miracle Worker about Helen Keller, which became a movie. And this book is about his growing up in New York City. It's about his parents. It's a memoir, and it's very moving, and I treasure it.
And we'll leave it there. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Jim Mustek, the author of 1,000 Books You Need to Read Before You Die. And this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Gene Purcell here with Mike Arnold, and we are under a certain amount of pressure right now because we're coming up on the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. It is the second to the last day of the pledge drive.
It is.
And we have semi-loads of these WPR socks that we've got to move out the door.
We got a big pile of socks right
here.
We've
got a big pile of socks, so we need you to step up. Be counted as a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift right now, and if you make it at the $120 level right now, $10 a month or a $120 gift, two pairs of those WPR socks will be winging their way to you. So make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. You'll get two pairs of socks for $10 a month as a thank you gift only today. It's the next to the last day. We also have a lot of people who say, you know what? I'm tired of making my life so dramatic by waiting until the last minute to pledge. I want to mellow my life out a little bit. I want to mellow my life out a bit. And so they're pledging on the next to the last day. It's just as exciting because mm-hmm. you get two pairs of socks. And your gift right now is really important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And if you wait to the last minute, you will miss the socks.
Right.
So think about that. And thanks, by the way, already, if you've already given, if you've already made your pledge, or if you're a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks. We really appreciate it. But if you haven't made your donation yet, as we've been saying, the time is now. Please give. Yes, the time is now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network is really amazing because, like, in the past hour, maybe you learned about some books that you feel like you should read.
You wrote down some
titles of books based on that conversation. A little earlier this morning, we had a conversation about the hearings related to Kavanaugh and lots of discussion around that as well. And that's basically what the Ideas Network is here for. It's a way for you to learn things. It's also a way for you to exchange opinions and ideas with other people in Wisconsin. And we're able to do this every day for you because WPR is listener supported. I mean, listener supported is the single largest source of funding. It makes WPR much better than it would be without you. So become a part of it. Join WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whatever amount works for you, if you want to do the $10 a month and get some of these, we just have this giant pile of socks just waiting to go out the door. So if you want to get some socks, make your pledge at $10 a month. But whatever amount you pledge, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is to make the pledge.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the great things about the pledge drives here at Wisconsin Public Radio is that you get to decide how much to give. What can your budget afford? What's the value of WPR in your life? You make that decision. But, you know, you might think about something substantial, $100, maybe $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you spend going out to dinner mm-hmm. on a monthly basis or something like that, and you've decided you want to invest in something that won't make you heavier, that actually will make your brain a little bit smarter. So invest in that. Invest in your educational, your continuing education on Wisconsin Public Radio by putting a dollar amount on it and making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's no mystery. Some things in life you just can't get enough of, like great WPR programming and socks. And then there's the unsolved mysteries of life, like where do socks disappear to in the laundry?
There's some kind of rift in the space-time continuum that just appears in the dryer, so they just get sucked away to a different dimension. So somewhere out there in some alternate universe, there's just this world full of lonely socks that came from the dryer.
I have no idea where the socks go.
Sometimes socks fall out of the basket. Like if you're walking home from the laundromat, they can end up in the driveway.
The solution is no mystery. Replenish your sock drawer and keep the WPR programming you love strong. Today only, you'll get two pairs of WPR socks when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
Today only. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Gene Purcell here with Mike Arnold. We're working to raise the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we count on and we appreciate your gift.
We heard from Marianne and Jonathan from Madison. They said they're new members to WPR, but lifetime members of other public radio stations. They love the great combination of NPR and local content. That's why they supported Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to just think about it. Think about it. Think about how much time you spend with this radio station on a weekly basis. Put a dollar amount on it and support it. You know it's important to you. Now's the time to make the pledge. And if you pledge $10 a month, we'll give you the socks. Two of them, two pairs of socks. You can wear them at the same time. You can space them out over the week. It really doesn't matter. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. No matter how you do it, it's important to make your pledge. And thanks so much for your support. And thanks for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.